The desire to practice the principles of our faith is a gift from God. It is not against humility to want to become pious. Piety is one of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus teaches that the proper motivation for being pious is to glorify God in our thoughts, words, and actions. And these actions include our interactions with others. We want to be a positive influence in their lives. Individual actions are not isolated actions. They will have a beneficial or detrimental impact upon others. The exercise of our freedom of choice is not a self-centered exercise in which we do not consider how our choices impacts others and affects the common good. In the gospel reading, Jesus teaches that authentic expressions of piety have the power to transform our lives and the lives of others. They draw us to God. Settling for appearing to be pious only has the aim of drawing attention to ourselves. The Pharisees and scribes have the historical reputation of being rigid followers of the Mosaic law. However, Jesus had condemned their practice of adding or subtracting from the Mosaic law in contradiction to what Moses had taught. They would create loopholes and excuses to avoid following aspects of the Mosaic law. And this is the context in which Jesus hears the complaints of the Pharisees and scribes. They were concerned that some of Jesus' disciples did not engage in the traditional purification rituals. I could not help but think about what I do now during the pandemic. And we should be washing our hands even before the pandemic. But when I buy something, you know, and bring it to the house, I purify it with the sanitizing cloth and everything. But the Pharisees and the scribes are not talking about hygiene here. They're talking about a religious ritual that would be done prior to eating. Before we consider Jesus' response, we know that Jesus is not against performing religious rituals. The eternal Son of God comes to share in our humanity, and he is born within the Jewish nation. The Holy Family followed Jewish rituals. Holy Mary, the Mother of God, and Saint Joseph took the infant Jesus to the temple to present him to the Lord in accord with the Mosaic law. They participated in service on the Sabbath. They went to the synagogues. They observed the festivals, such as the Passover. As Jesus grew up, and as he began to proclaim his gospel and build his church, he continued with these practices. And then he created new religious rituals, the sacraments. They are tangible encounters with the Lord Jesus. To reiterate what I said last Sunday, the sacraments accomplish what they signify because Christ is at work personally in these sacraments. That is why he instituted them and entrusted them to his church. Our fruitful participation in these sacramental encounters with the Lord depends upon our awareness of what Christ wants to do in our lives when we participate in these sacraments, and then we cooperate with Christ and allow him to do it. Some of the Pharisees and scribes complained to Jesus that his disciples were not following what was part of the tradition of the elders, not what was in the Word of God. And in response, Jesus made an observation about them that is instructive for us, because we want to practice authentic forms of piety. Jesus wanted the crowd to hear what he had to say, because these religious leaders had great influence in the community. Keeping up with the appearance of being pious is not sufficient. It does not have the power to sanctify, because it draws attention to oneself and not to God. Engaging in the motions of the rituals without being conscious of the motives of doing them are empty gestures, according to the Lord Jesus. One can seek to build up an image of being reverent, but the reality is otherwise. And continuing to build up that facade disposes one not to care if they do not practice what they profess. And that is why Jesus called them hypocrites. They were ignoring the divine commandments for the sake of human traditions. Now note that the Lord Jesus is not talking about what we teach as sacred tradition. The Catholic Church teaches that the Word of God is communicated to us through the sacred scriptures and the living apostolic tradition. The Second Vatican Council describes sacred tradition in this way: it was done by the apostles, who handed on, by the spoken word of their preaching, by the example they gave, by the institutions they established, what they themselves had received, whether from the lips of Christ, from his way of life and his works, or whether they had learned it by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You know that the Bible is part of the sacred tradition. As I have given this example before, there is no verse in the Old Testament or the New Testament which states which are the books of the Bible that we can trust. The Holy Spirit guided the church to determine, among the many documents that claim to be gospels and letters attributed to the apostles, what could be trusted to be the Word of God. Of course, the written gospels did not exist on the day of Pentecost. As the apostles relayed what the Lord had done and is doing in his church, people said that as the apostles were going to God, they needed to write these things down, and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, they were written down. The Bible comes from the sacred tradition of the church. We're not talking about human traditions, although sometimes I find in parishes, some people act as if the mass schedule is part of the sacred tradition. And if you move the mass schedule, you're contradicting what Jesus handed on to the parish. This is not a prelude to the change of the mass schedule. Mass schedule is remaining as it is. But that's a small t tradition, and it's a very short tradition here at Holy Family. The Sunday Holy Masses are at 7:30 and 11 a.m. at the moment. In the gospel reading, Jesus emphasizes that practicing piety connects the internal disposition of a person who has faith in God to what is demonstrated externally. The problem with some of the Pharisees and the scribes is that they were so caught up in keeping up with appearances, making that connection was not of a concern of theirs. And so Jesus said, if that is how they approach rituals, who are they to criticize his disciples in what they were doing? It is important to always connect the interior dispositions of faith to the exterior demonstrations of faith. And that's why I took four of the last Sundays to talk about the connection between the celebration of the sacred liturgy to the conduct of our sacred lives. We cannot look at the gospel and make the lesson that therefore our outward acts of piety should be de-emphasized. God created us body and soul in his image. It is important for us to engage in pious actions with our bodies. Blessing ourselves with holy water reminds us of our baptism, the great blessing God has given to us. Making the sign of the cross acknowledges who God is, how God has offered us the gift of salvation, and in whose name we have come to gather for Holy Mass. For those who are able, we usually stand to pray to God. We usually sit to receive instruction from God. I know you've heard this before, but you never know, I may test you when you leave church one weekend. We kneel in adoration of God. We make a genuflection to the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament to acknowledge he is truly present. If we cannot make a genuflection with the right knee, such as myself, due to a surgery, we make a profound vow. But the purpose of doing these things is an exterior demonstration of our faith that is connected to an interior disposition of our faith. We want to remember our baptism. We know why we've come to worship. We want to pray to God. We want to hear his instructions. We want to adore God. We want to acknowledge that Jesus is Lord. The interior disposition informs our exterior demonstration of faith, and in turn, the exterior demonstration of faith reinforces our interior disposition. So Jesus gathers the crowd together, and he warns us never settle for ritual actions that become rote actions. What we believe is in response to what God has revealed. We prayed in the responsorial psalm that those who practice justice will live in the presence of the Lord. To engage in authentic expressions of piety is to give God what God deserves. That's what it means by being just. And along that psalm, we hear that part of being just is not only to give what God deserves, but then to give others who are created in God's image and likeness what they deserve as a result of their inherent dignity. So to believe is not merely an intellectual assent to divine truth. It includes the intentional actions that we make because we are beloved children of God who want our behavior to be a true reflection, a true image of our identity. This is what it means to live with integrity. If one has settled for living a contradiction of the commitment of faith and the conduct of their lives, the Lord Jesus gives us the healing remedy of repentance and conversion. This was his purpose for speaking to those Pharisees and scribes. He wanted them to repent. He wanted them to convert. And many of them did not want to receive the message. Some did, such as Nicodemus in the Gospel of John. But as followers of the Lord within the fellowship of his church, we respond to his instructions with the internal disposition of wanting to do God's will. Christ will never command us to do something that he did not give us the capacity to do. We have that capacity because he continually nourishes us with his divine life.